Well, good evening to everyone. I'm so glad you all made it out today, that you braved this cold weather of winter that we have, the first actual snowfall I would count up here in the north. I just returned from the south, where the snow was only about an inch thick, and then once I got up here, I was driving in about 7 inches of snow. Well, I'm glad everyone made it out today. I'd like to begin with introducing the new year. Today is New Year's Eve, after all, the last day of 2017. It's a day that many use to celebrate the looking back at the past of the last year, remembering all the events that have happened in their lives and throughout history. It's also a time that they use to look forward into the new year, to look forward to new events, new experiences that they may have. And to help them do this, they often make these things called New Year's resolutions. And some of them could be for losing weight, trying to break a bad addiction. Some could be even to just go out and see a new adventure or a new person or make some new friends, or stir up a new conversation with old friends. But sadly, most of these are empty words. Statistics show that more than half of resolutions are broken before January even ends. And then even further, not even a quarter of resolutions remain by half the year. It's very sad to see how quickly people give up on these promises that they have made to themselves. But to those who come to the Wednesday services, last year I proposed a resolution of my own. I had somewhat challenged the resolution to become a better Christian throughout this year. And I wonder how many actually took that up and how many still are following it today. But I would like to begin, I would like to discuss the importance of keeping your word. When I was down with my mother, I had made arrangements to see one of my old friends from high school that I haven't seen since coming to Cleveland. And they had agreed to see me, and then on the day of Friday, I called them to say, I'll be at your house in a half hour. Well, they told me they couldn't do it, and they canceled on me. They had broken a promise that we made almost 2 months ago. Matthew 5:37 says something about this. Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatever is more than this is from the devil, is from the evil one." By saying this, Jesus is saying that if you make a promise, be sure to keep it. Keep your words. For anything more is just of the evil one. Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 and 33. 21 to 23. "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't avoid keeping it. The Lord your God expects you to keep it. You would be guilty of sin if you did not. If you didn't make a vow, you wouldn't be guilty. Make sure you do what you say and do what you do in your vow. You freely choose to make your vow to the Lord your God. If you choose to make a vow, do it. Whether it's to the Lord or to someone else, for any more is of the evil one. It's a sin to turn against it." So I would advise caution when you make a promise. Christians made a vow to serve the Lord. We vow to study His Word and to serve Him. But our Lord made several promises to us as well, and to those who have passed. But first we must understand that God keeps His promises and cannot lie. If you turn to Titus 1:1-4, it reads, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faithful of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which according to the godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We see here that God, who cannot lie, made a promise for us. In Hebrews 6:18, by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we have the strength, we have a strong consolation, who has fled by refuge to lay a hold of the hope that sets before us. These verses here and the following show that God is, it's impossible for God to lie. He can't tell a lie, for he is perfect and cannot sin. Nor could he break his lie, as it says in Psalm 89, verses 34 through 35. My covenant I will not break, nor alter. The word that has gone out from my lips, once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. And then 1 Kings, verse 8:56. Blessed be the Lord, who has given the rest to his people of Israel, according to all that he has promised, that he has not failed one word or of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. These verses say that he cannot break his promises by any means. Some of the promises that he made in the Old Testament were to Noah. He made a covenant with Noah, saying in Genesis 9, verses 20 through 21, then Noah will build an altar to the Lord, and took every clean animal and every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I destroy every living thing as I had done. He made a promise to Noah that he would never destroy the earth as he had done in the flood. He made three promises to Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. I will bless those who have blessed you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In this, God made three promises to Abram. He made a promise of lands, a promise of a great nation, and a promise that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Note in verse 7, though, that the Lord had appeared to the Lord and said, to your descendants I will give the land. In Genesis, in verse 16, I will make your descendants as dust of the earth. Speaking of the great nation. And of the land in verse 15, all the land you see I will give it to you and your descendants forever. And in verse 17, I will give it to you. In Genesis 15, verses 5 through 25, speaking of 5, descendants like stars, speaking of the great nations that will be brought out through the world. And verse 7, to give to you this land, to the descendants I have given the land. We see that slowly the prophecy, he's prophesying that the land will be given to the descendants of Abraham. Genesis 17, verses 2 through 8, I will multiply you exceptionally fruitful, making nations and kings from you. Speaking of the great land. And verse 8, I will give to you and your descendants after you all the lands of Canaan as an everlasting possession. in Genesis 18:18, surely become a great and mighty nation. And in him all nations of the earth will be blessed. Speaking of the seed. In Genesis 22, verses 17 through 18, greatly multiplying your seed as the stars and the sands. Your seed shall possess the great, shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all nations will be blessed. Genesis 24, verses 7 says, your descendants I will give the lands. And Genesis 26, verses 3 through 4 and 4, I will multiply Isaac's descendants as stars. And in verse 3, to you and your descendants, I will give all the lands and give your descendants lands. Speak, by your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Then we see another promise of the land in Genesis 28, verses 4. Give to Isaac and your descendants to possess the land which God had gave Abraham. Then in Genesis 28, verses 18 through 14, and 13, I will give it to you and your descendants, speaking of the land. And Isaac's descendants like dust, is speaking of the great nation, and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. These are just some of the texts that prophesy where the three promises, but the fulfillment of the prophecies of the lands is, or of the great nation, is found in Genesis 46, verse 3. Do not be afraid, go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation. And Deuteronomy 10, verses 12, or 22. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 people in all, and now the Lord had made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. It's, these two verses are the fulfillment of the great promise of the land, of the great nation to Abraham. And then the promises of the lands, the fulfillment is found in Joshua 21, verses 43. So the Lord gave to Israel, all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and their possessions in it, and to live in it. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And then the fulfillment of the seed is found in Galatians. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 13, and then 1 and then 19 through 20. Full of assurance of hope, inherit the promise. God made the promise to Abraham. This we hope to have as one. Which enters within the veil. When Jesus has entered as a forerunner, for us. And then Acts 13, verses 32 through 33, we preach to you that the good news has promised the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to us. Their children in that he raised up Jesus. And then for 38. Then through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. These were the fulfillments of the promises that God had made to Abraham. But Jesus also made us a few promises as well. He promised us freedom of sin, John 8:31-36. He also promised us eternal life, Matthew 19:29. And anyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for his name's sake, I will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Shall receive and inherit eternal life. And then John 3:14-16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we see that Jesus promised and brought us down eternal life when he was lifted up on the cross and was and died for our sins. He gave way to death and allowed us to have eternal life through him. So Jesus would want you to make a promise to him as he had made a promise to you. He would want you to come to him to live a life to him and for him. But to do his promise, you must hear him, hear his words. John 6:45 reads, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learns from the Father comes to me. You must believe in him as the Son of Christ." The Son of God. John 8:24. Therefore, I said to you that you shall not die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You must confess him before men. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. He asks you to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. and to be baptized for remission of your sins, to be put away. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then he asks you to remain faithful for the rest of your days on earth here. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. So I would ask you again to make yourself another resolution to follow the Lord and follow Jesus as He would wish you to do so. If you have a need this day, if you wish to come forward, or if you have a need, then I would ask you to do so, come forward and do so as we stand and as we sing.